It's time once again for an episode of Wrestling with Theology. I am Pastor Doug Minton, your host, and this week we are finding common ground with our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church. This week we move into Article 9 of the Apostles' Creed as they count the articles. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church separates this into six different paragraphs. This month we'll be looking at three. Next month we'll look at the fourth one on the hierarchy. And then in December we will look at paragraphs 5 and 6 on the communion of saints and the church's relation to Mary. Because, after all, this is the Roman Catholic Church we're looking at here. If we look at the first paragraph in this article, The Church and God's Plan, we read the in brief from paragraph 777 to 780. The word church means convocation. It designates the assembly of those whom God's word convokes, i.e., gathers together to form the people of God, who themselves, nourished with the body of Christ, become the body of Christ. The church is both the means and the goal of God's plan, prefigured in creation, prepared for in the Old Covenant, founded by the words and actions of Jesus Christ, fulfilled by his redeeming cross and his resurrection. The church has been manifested as the mystery of salvation by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. She will be perfected in the glory of heaven as the assembly of all the redeemed of the earth. The church is both visible and spiritual, a hierarchical society and the mystical body of Christ. She is one, yet formed of two components, human and divine. That is her mystery, which only faith can accept. The church in this world is the sacrament of salvation, the sign and the instrument of the communion of God and men. So for the Catechism. In the LCMS explanation of Luther's Small Catechism, the word church is used in five different senses: the communion of saints, the visible church of God, a denomination, a local congregation, and a house of worship. The Catechism of the Catholic Church only allows three: the liturgical assembly, the local community, and the holy universal community of believers. For the Roman Catholic Church, all three senses are interrelated and inseparable. We look to this in paragraph 752 for greater detail. In Christian usage, the word church designates the liturgical assembly, but also the local community or the whole universal community of believers. These three meanings are inseparable. The church is the people that God gathers in the whole world. She exists in local communities and is made real as a liturgical, above all a Eucharistic, assembly. She draws her life from the Word and the body of Christ, and so herself becomes the body of Christ. The church has always existed in time. It began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It has always been God's vehicle of salvation. It takes shape throughout the Old Testament with many symbols in preparation for Christ's first coming. It continues God's transformative process through time until it is completely perfected in heaven. And we agree, the church is both visible and invisible at the same time, both physical and spiritual. The visible church includes all those who bind themselves to the pastoral care and oversight of the congregation and her pastor. The invisible church only includes those who truly believe in Christ. The visible church has hypocrites in it. The invisible church does not. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the church a sacrament, and it can only do that if the definition of sacrament is properly understood. The Latin sacramentum is the translation of the Greek mysterion, from which we get the word mystery. The church is a mystery, as she is God's vehicle for salvation. God only uses his church to proclaim salvation. The salvation comes to fulfillment and completion through Jesus' death and resurrection. But the church cannot save simply because someone enters a church building and sits through a worship service. Salvation comes through faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. However, this word is not always received for good. We move on into what they label paragraph 2. The church is the people of God, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the in brief, in paragraphs 802 to 810. Christ Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own, Titus 2:14. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, 1 Peter 2:9. One enters into the people of God by faith and baptism. All men are called to belong to the new people of God, so that in Christ men may form one family and one people of God. The church is the body of Christ. Through the Spirit and his action in the sacraments, above all the Eucharist, Christ, who once was dead and is now risen, establishes the community of believers as his own body. In the unity of this body, there is a diversity of members and functions. All members are linked to one another, especially to those who are suffering, to the poor and the persecuted. The church is this body of which Christ is the head. She lives from him, in him, and for him. He lives with her and in her. The church is the bride of Christ. He loved her and handed himself over for her. He has purified her by his blood and made her the fruitful mother of all God's children. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the soul, as it were, of the mystical body, the source of its life, of its unity and diversity, and of the riches of its gifts and charisms. Hence, the universal church is seen to be a people brought into unity from the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So far, the Catechism. The church serves the world through the triple definition of people of God, body of Christ, and temple of the Holy Spirit. In these three areas, the church seeks to witness to the world around her of God's grace and mercy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church does us a great service in that God does not call people to serve only as individuals. As St. Peter tells us, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. All of these descriptions are corporate entities. Not once does it refer to individuals in the description of the church. Every Christian needs to be connected with other Christians for their faith to grow. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus says, there I am in the midst of them, Matthew 18:20. God created people to be in relationship with each other and with him, as seen in Genesis 2:18, where God said there was only one thing that was not good, and that was that the man was alone. The church, therefore, is the gathering place for people to have relationship with God as their Heavenly Father and with other people as their brothers and sisters in Christ. When one is missing, the structure of the visible congregation suffers like a building missing one of its bricks. The Holy Spirit builds each Christian into the church so that the church is a house of living stones, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5. The third paragraph of this article covers the church as one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. We read the in brief from paragraphs 866 to 870. The church is one. She acknowledges one Lord, confesses one faith, is born of one baptism, forms only one body, is given life by the one Spirit for the sake of one hope, Ephesians 4, 3-5, at whose fulfillment all divisions will be overcome. The church is holy. The most holy God is her author. Christ, her bridegroom, gave himself up to make her holy. The Spirit of holiness gives her life. Since she still includes sinners, she is the sinless one made up of sinners. Her holiness shines in the saints. In Mary, she is already all holy. The church is Catholic. She proclaims the fullness of the faith. She bears in herself and administers the totality of the means of salvation. She is sent out to all the peoples. She speaks to all men. She encompasses all time. She is missionary of her very nature. The church is apostolic. She is built on a lasting foundation, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Revelation 21:14. She is indestructible, Matthew 16:18. She is upheld infallibly in the truth. Christ governs her through Peter and the other apostles who are present in their successors, the Pope and the College of Bishops. The sole Church of Christ, which in the Creed we profess to be one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, subsists in the Catholic Church, which is governed by the successor of Peter and by the bishops in communion with him. Nevertheless, many elements of sanctification and of truth are found outside its visible confines. So far, the Catechism. The Nicene Creed describes the Church with four adjectives: one, Holy, Catholic, and Apostolic. The Apostles' Creed only uses two, Holy and Catholic. But the Church has always seen herself with all four adjectives. 1. The Church is one because God is one. Although we have thousands of denominations around the world, the Church finds her definition through her belief in the heart and the confession of the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Romans 10:8-10. The Roman Catholic Church takes issue with this. In paragraph 816 of the Catechism, quoting the Second Vatican Council, they write, "For it is through Christ's Catholic Church alone, which is the universal help toward salvation, that the fullness of the means of salvation can be obtained. It was to the Apostolic College alone, of which Peter is the head, that we believe that our Lord entrusted all the blessings of the new covenant, in order to establish on earth the one body of Christ into which all those should be fully incorporated who belong in any way to the people of God." While Roman Catholic Church admits that other denominations follow Jesus, it calls all other denominations inferior to them because of their historic roots in the Apostolic Church. Holy. The Church is therefore holy, though having sinners in her midst, because she herself has no other life but the life of grace. Paragraph 827, quoting Pope Paul VI. The life of grace comes through Jesus' shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. No one is holy except through his blood. Catholic. The word Catholic means universal. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes the individuality and the Catholicity of the Church with its different understandings of that word, as seen in paragraphs 832 through 835. However, the Roman Catholic Church also has the doctrine of anonymous Christianity, as defined in paragraph 843. The Catholic Church recognizes in other religions that search among shadows and images for the God who is unknown, yet near, since he gives life and breath and all things and wants all men to be saved. Thus, the Church considers all goodness and truth found in these religions as a preparation for the gospel and given by him who enlightens all men that they may at length have life. In the same encyclical where this quote comes from, Pope Paul VI says, "Those who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his Church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those too may achieve eternal salvation." Paragraph 847. I could go on and on about anonymous Christianity and this idea that there is some good in all religions, and that is enough to get them salvation. But if you also believe that you can only be saved if you're a member of the Catholic Church, it doesn't make much sense, and I hope that that was very evident. The fourth adjective, apostolic. The Church is apostolic in that it is established upon the basis of the prophets and the apostles, Ephesians 2:19-21. This establishment continues today as the pastors of the Church teach from their writings. In almost everything in these sections, Lutherans are able to agree with Catholics. However, as I just said, Catholics hold to the idea that salvation can only happen through the Roman Catholic Church and through obedience to the Pope. All Christians must deny the necessity of subordination and obedience to any other mediator than Jesus Christ. However, we can embrace Catholics as our brothers and sisters in Christ, just as we can in many other denominations and non-denominational churches, seeking, as we do each month during this week, for common ground for us to be able to talk with them, to bring them to an understanding of the truth of the biblical word regarding faith, church, and all other things. We'll stop here, as next month on Common Ground we will talk about the rise of the hierarchy and its necessity in the Roman Catholic Church. But for now, this is Pastor Doug Minton once again, wishing you God's blessings as you wrestle with theology.